The seventh parak really doesn't exactly fit in with our Masech that's not talking about various issues as it relates to the Bechor, or being Podeh, Peter Chamor, or being Podeh, an animal that's a kosher animal that was born first, etc. But what it is it's a continuation of the prior parak. In the prior parak, the sixth parak, we talked about the various mumin, the various blemishes that would invalidate a bechor, which is an animal bechor, from being brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. And parak Zayin, the seventh parak, is going to talk about those blemishes that will invalidate a kohen. And there's a tremendous amount of overlap in those blemishes, those that invalidate the animal, those that invalidate the kohen. Accordingly, that is why this parak is in this Masechta and follows right after the prior parak. Just on a high level, there's a pasuk in the Torah that tells us, pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Aleph, that if we have a descendant of Aharon who does the avoda, if he has a blemish, he cannot do the avoda, cannot do the offerings of the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. What we will be seeing at the beginning of the Mishnah is all of those mumim, all those blemishes that invalidated an animal in the prior parak will also invalidate a kohen from doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. That is going to be the statement, and the Mishnah, this parak, will not repeat all of those blemishes. We're simply going to leverage everything that was listed in the prior parak, and those apply to a person as well. What we will be doing in this parak is we will be listing out various types of blemishes that didn't apply to an animal, but why didn't they apply to the animal? Because these aren't really absolute blemishes that would invalidate an animal, invalidate a person. What they are is they are appearance issues. What a requirement is that the Kohen, when he does the avoda, he has to look normal, as is common. But if his appearance looks different from others, and this will be spelled out in our parak, if there are appearances that just don't look right, then that Kohen will be invalidated from doing the avoda as well. But it's not a blemish per se that there's a total invalidation. It's simply as a result of his unusual appearance. So Mishnah Aleph starts out as follows. Mumim Elu, the mumim that we refer to in the prior parak, talking about an animal, a bechor, Bein kvuin, bein ovrim, whether it is a permanent blemish or one that will heal with time. Not only do they invalidate the animals, but poslim be'adam, they will also invalidate a person. Now, when it's talking about the type of blemish that will heal, it's only when he has that blemish that he cannot do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but once it has healed, at that point he would be permitted to resume doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now what we're going to say is there are additional mumim that didn't apply in the prior parak that apply to people, that apply to kohanim, and that's because the appearance doesn't look quite right. Yoser aleim ba'adam, in addition to the ones that we saw in the prior parak, applicable to people, talking about kohanim, and now we're going to have a list, various unusual shapes of the head that would invalidate a kohen from doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Hakilon is a pointed head. Bahalaftan is wide on top. It looks like a lefted. It looks like a turnip, so it's wide on top and more narrow underneath. Hamakavan is a hammerhead. It looks, it sticks out in the front and the back like a hammer. Vishirosho shakua, the head is flat in front. Ushkifam, the head is flat in back. And one last Mum umbaale hachat hotores. These are hunchbacks. This is subject to machlokis. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says that is not going to be a blemish. Rachachamim postly, but Chachamim say indeed that it would invalidate the kohen from doing the avoda. The Gemara explains the machlokis here. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if the hunchback is the result of a bone deformation, then he agrees that the hunchback would be invalid to do the avoda. The machlokas here is simply when it's not a bone that causes the hunchback, but it's some flesh, extra piece of meat. It's a soft tissue that causes the jutting out of the back, the look of the hunchback. In that situation, Rabbi Yehuda would say that it is machshir, it's not an invalidating blemish. And Chachamim would say, regardless, it doesn't matter whether it's because of a bone or not. We care about the appearance, and accordingly, that would be an invalidating blemish. Mishnah Beis continues listing out the blemishes due to the appearance of the kohen that would invalidate. invalidate him from doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. HaKereach, pasul, somebody who is bald, a kohen who is bald, would be invalid to do the avodah because that is simply not common. Most people are not bald. Accordingly, if we have a kohen who is bald, that would invalidate him. Now, we have to define Ezehu Kereach. What does that mean? There's bald, because you can be fully bald or partially bald. Kol she'en lo shita shel se'ar makefes me'ozen le'ozen. What it's talking about is he doesn't even have a back strip of hair in the back of his head. What it's talking about here is if you draw a line from the top of the ear to the top of the ear in the back of the head, if you have the area below that, that is not going to be the kereach. That's not going to be an invalidating blemish. That would be normal. However, what we're talking about is if you don't have that area, then it would be. So let's read it on the inside. Ezehu kereach. What are we talking about? Somebody who is bald. Kol she'en lo shita shel se'ar makefet mi'ozen lo'ozen. That is talking about a person who does not have that strip of the hair going from ear to ear in the back of the head. V'myesho, however, if the person does have that strip in the back of the head, hareze kasher. That is not a kereach. That is not the bald person who would be invalidated from doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going to try to define, there's a psul brought in the pasuk in Vayikra, chaf aleph, pasuk chaf, and it's the giben. And we're going to define, what does that mean, giben? Is the word giben from the language of gabin, which are eyebrows, or is it from the language of gav, which is a back? And we're going to see three different opinions on this. Ein lo gvinim, or Ein lo ela gavin echad. If the person, the kohen, has no gvinim, he has no eyebrows, so this is an opinion saying that a giben in the Torah, which is a blemish, is talking about someone who either has no eyebrows, or ein lo ela gavin echad is somebody who has only one eyebrow. That's talking about one eyebrow straight across that you can't distinguish between them. It's a unibrow. Hu giben ha'amur b'Torah. That is the giben. That is the blemish that is discussed in the pasuk in the Torah that would invalidate the kohen. Opinion number two is along the same lines. It's defining the giben as relating to the eyebrows, but a little bit of a different take. Rabbi Dosa Omer Shol Kol Shegvinav Shochvin. It's talking about somebody who has eyebrows that are so long that they lay down over the eyes. So they come down from the eyebrow area, and they're so long that they are over the eyes. So both opinion number one and opinion number two are defining a giben as relating to the eyebrows. The third opinion, Rabbi Hanani ben Antigonus Omer, it is not relating to the eyebrows, but a giben is based on gav. It means the back of the person is deformed. Mishle sheyesh lo shnei gabin. Somebody who has two backs or has the appearance of two backs, who shtei shedros, and looks like the appearance of having two spines. So it's a seriously deformed back situation. And the giben relates to the gav, relates to the back of the person. That is what the Torah means from a giben that would invalidate the kohen from doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Gimel and thereafter Mishnah Daled deal with unusual eyes or the appearance of unusual eyes when it comes to the kohen that would indeed invalidate him from doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Gimel says as follows, Harum pasul. The harum is invalid to do the avoda. What is harum? So in fact, the word harum is one of the psulim brought in Vayikra, Chafalaf, it's pasuk yud ches, and it comes from the language, according to the Tosfos Yom Tov, of cherem, destruction. And what it means is that the structure of the face looks destroyed. What would that be? Ezehu charum. What does this mean? When the pasuk says that this is a psul, the psul of charum, hakochel shtei einav ka'achas, a kohen that is able to color both of his eyes at one time. And what it means is that the nose is sunken in such that there's no barrier between one eye and the other, that the person could color the two eyes at the same time. Continuing in the various psulim blemishes, shtei einav lemala, if both of the eyes are above where they should be, ushtei einav lemata, or both of the eyes are below where they should be, eino achas lemala v'eino achas lemata, one is higher up, one is lower down, so there's misalignment of the eyes, one just above where it should be, one below it should be. Roe es acheder ves alia ka'achas, even if the eyes are in the same place, but the person is cross-eyed such that he can see the room that he's in and also the attic at the same time. So in other words, the eyes are pointing in different directions. Sachei Shemesh is talking about a kohen who is very sensitive to the sun, so he's constantly squinting. Zugdus, we're going to look in the Bartanura. He explains as follows. Zug is the word shnaim, that means two, and dus is the language from Roman, is also two. It means two and two, but what it's saying is that the zug shalanaim, that the two eyes, or it could be the eyebrows or other body parts, they are misaligned. They aren't equal. For example, kagon ein achas shchorav achas keinat chelis. They're the eyes, the iris of the eyes are two different colors. One is black, one is red, or green would be more normal. One is blue, and one is brown. So various body parts of the individual, they look different. Each one is different from the other, and accordingly, that is the psul of zugdos. And continuing, vahat siran, this is watery eyes. The eyes of the kohen are constantly tearing. That additionally is going to be a psul. Now, I just want to jump down to the Bartanura. The Bartanura explains as follows. It's in the Dibur Hamaschil Nibnei Maris Ha'ayin, before we go to the last psul. And he says, and this is really fundamental for this parak, Ushlosha Dinim Chalukim Yesh B'mumei Adam, starting in the middle of it, there are actually three different categories when it comes to the blemishes of the kohen. Blemish category number one is the mumim that are the same between a kohen and the animals. The mumim, the blemishes that we listed in the prior perek. And when a kohen who has one of those blemishes does the avodah, kohen sha'avar, the avad behen loke, he receives malchus because his blemish shouldn't be doing the avodah, v'avodato mechuleles. And the avodah that he had is invalid. It would have to be redone. So that is category number one. When the kohen has a blemish equal to one of the blemishes that we discussed in the prior perek as it relates to mumim of animals. Category number two, the additional mumim that we list in this perek that relate to a kohen, a person, but not to an animal. If the kohen did the avodah when he has one of these mumim listed in this parak, for the most part, we'll see that the subject of category number three, loke, he will receive malchus, im avad, if he did the avodah. However, the avodah that he did is not going to be invalid. It's still going to be a valid avodah. That is category number two. And category number three is the least bad of them. It's something that we categorize as mipnei maris ha'ayin. Maris ha'ayin means the kohen looks unpleasant. The other mumim, category number one, category number two, that's when the kohen looks unusual. He has a very unusual appearance, and accordingly, that's why his avodah is going to be invalid. But how about if it's not such an unusual appearance, but it's an unpleasant appearance? So that's our third category, and continues the Bartanura, v'hamumim shen mipnei maris ha'ayin. And we're talking about this third category, maris ha'ayin. It's unpleasant. It's through the view of the eye. When people look at him, it just doesn't look good. Im avar v'avad in aloka, if he indeed violated the halacha and he did the avoda anyway, he's not going to receive malchus, and certainly his avoda is not going to be invalid. So the avoda would be invalid. So with that background, we've been talking about up until now in this Mishnah and the prior Mishnayos, category number two. Category number one was covered in the prior parak, and we said at the beginning of this parak that whatever we learned in the prior parak, those defects that applied to animals, that's also going to apply to a kohen. That's category number one. We've been focusing for the most part on category number two mumim, and now we're going to mention a category number three mum as it relates to the eye area of the kohen, vishanashu risei einav. If the eyelashes of the kohen have all fallen out, Pasul mipnei maris ha'ayin, that is going to be third category, psul, because of the unpleasant appearance of the kohen. And again, if he did do the avodah, he shouldn't have done it, but if he did do the avodah, he would not receive malchus, and certainly the avodah would be valid. Mishnah Dalet continues discussing various blemishes in the eye area of the kohen, and we are now talking about blemishes that are the second category we just discussed. In the Bartanura, those are the blemishes that apply to a person, not to animals. And if the kohen, despite the blemishes, did the avodah, he would receive malchus, but the avodah would still be valid. So we are now in category number two. Mishnah Dalet, Einav Gedolos Keshel Egel. His eyes are much bigger than the norm. They are the size of a calf, which has much larger eyes than a human. Okitanos keshelavaz, or the eyes of the coin are much smaller than the norm. They are the size of a goose. Goose has much smaller eyes than a human. Or different body parts are misaligned. We're getting out of talking about the eyes right now. Gufo gadol me'evarav, the body, literally the body, the torso, is larger than the limbs, talking about, for example, the hands and the legs, so very small hands and legs relative to the torso of the body, or the reverse. O katan me'evarav, where the torso is much smaller than the limbs, so somebody with relatively large, very long arms and legs and a small torso. Chatamo gadol me'evarav, or if the nose is much larger than the rest of the limbs, so it just sticks out much larger and it looks unusual, or the reverse, or katan me'evarav, the nose is much smaller relative to the other body parts. Hatzimem v'hatzimeya. Now we're going to explain what those are. Ezu tzimeya. What does that mean? Hatzimeya is a blemish as well. Sha'oznav ketanos, that the ears are much smaller then would be the norm. V'hatzimem, what is that? Mum, what is that blemish? Oznav domos lisfog, that the ears are like a sponge. What does that mean, the ears are like a sponge? So it could be one of two explanations. Number one is, could be that it's a dry sponge. This is the Bartanura's approach, so the ears are shriveled up like a dry sponge. And the Rambam goes in the other direction. He says, we're talking about effectively a sponge that is swollen, it's full. It's a sponge that is full of water, so it's not that the ears look too small, but the ears are all swollen up. They're larger than would be expected and swollen, and that would be this blemish. Mishnah continues with the listings of the various blemishes that make a kohen unfit to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to start out with the middle of the face area, and then we will work our way down through the body. Sfaso ha'elyona odefes al ha'tachtona. The upper lip juts out, it protrudes over the lower lip in an unusual way, or the reverse, v'hatachtona odefes al ha'elyona, the bottom lip sticks out, it juts out over the upper lip. Harei ze mum, this is an invalidating mum, blemish for the kohen. Now we're going to talk about category number three, as we've divided up the categories. Category number two is an invalidating blemish for the kohen, and the kohen would receive malchus if he didn't go and do the avoda with the blemish. Category number three is an invalidating mum because of the appearance, meaning it's not a d'oraisa biblical blemish, it's a rabbinic blemish because the kohen doesn't have a proper appearance, he can't do the avoda, but if he did, he would not receive lashes, the avoda would be kosher. Even in category number two, the avoda would be kosher b'dieved, but the difference between category two and category number three, and the vast majority of this parak is talking about category number two, is that category number two, the kohen would receive lashes, but the avoda would still be valid. In category number three, the avoda would be valid, and the kohen also would not receive lashes. So here, we're going to have an example of category number three blemish. Vishenitlos shinav pasul mipnei maris ayin. If he is missing teeth, that is going to be category number three. That is going to be because of the appearance that Chazal instituted that he should not do the avoda, but it's not going to be a biblical blemish. It's not going to be category number two. Continuing with category number two blemishes, dadav shochvin kishel isha, his pectoralis majors, his chest protrudes and sags like a woman, so it doesn't have a normal look to it. And continuing, kresot tzava, literally his stomach bulges, but we're not talking about simply somebody who has a large belly, has a beer belly. It's something that looks highly unusual, a huge swollen belly. That would be a blemish, tavoro, you would say, somebody who has a belly button that sticks out in an unusual way. Nichpe afilu achas liyamim, somebody who has seizures, even if it's not that often, even if it's rare, still that is going to be an invalidating blemish. Ruach kitris ba'alav, mental illness plagues the individual once in a while, doesn't have to be constantly, it doesn't matter, still that is going to be an invalidating blemish. Hame'ushkan uba'al gever, hame'ushkan is somebody who has an unusually large scrotum, and ba'al gever is somebody who has a very large reproductive organ. Ein lo beitzim, if the kohen literally doesn't have testicles, but it means that he does have testicles, but they're both in one pouch. So that means that he doesn't have two testicles in separate pouches. He has two, but they're both in the same pouch. So ein lo ella beitza achas, or even if he has just one beitza, even if they are in two separate pouches, meaning he has two separate pouches, but he only has one beitza, one testicle, that also is going to be a blemish. Zehu meruach ashech amur batorah. This is the Tanakhama saying and defining when the Torah says that a mum, a blemish for a coin, is meruach ashech. That is talking about what we just listed, that he is missing one of the pouches or missing one of the testicles. That is defining that meruach ashech. And continuing, we're going to have another three opinions for a total of four opinions of what is that blemish meruach ashech that's listed in the Torah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer kol shenimruchu ashechav. That meruach ashech is when the testicles have been crushed, so they're not in their normal form right now. Number three, Rabbi Akiva Omer kol shiruach ba'ashachav. Literally, that there is, according to Rabbi Akiva, there is air in his testicles, but it means they're very swollen in an unusual way. And all three of those opinions were defining meruach ashech as relating to the reproductive organs of the Kohen. Rabbi Chininya is going to take a different take. He's number four. Rabbi Chininya ben Antigonus Omer kol shemar av chashuchim. If his appearance is dark, it means if it's a person who has very dark skin, and his drush is meroach ashech, sounds like mar'eh chashuch. Mar'eh is the appearance, chashuch is very dark, and accordingly, that would be, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that would be the definition of the Torah's blemish, meruach ashech. It happens to be, although we have four different opinions, they would all agree with each other that these are invalidating blemishes. The machlokas is simply what is meruach ashech mean, but the bottom line is each would agree that each is listing an invalidating blemish, that if a coin has any of these, all of these Tanaim would agree that that coin would be unfit to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Vav starts out with the blemishes of the Kohen that are in the feet area, feet and legs. Hamakish bekarsulav, if the Kohen's ankles knock together, talking about when he stands, his ankles are together, but his knees are separate, he's bow-legged, and accordingly, his knees don't touch, but his ankles knock together. Or we read it, Hamakish ube arkovosav. His knees are bent inward. So it's kind of the reverse of what we saw before. Here, the knees are bent inward. Those are knocking together, but the feet are spread when he's standing. Uba al pika vaha ikel. We'll define these starting right now. Ezu ikel, when we say an ikel, what does that mean? Kol shemakif parso sav ve'en arkavosav noshkot zo v'zo. What it means is that when he puts his feet together when he's sitting down, so he's in a seated position, he puts his feet together, that's makif parso sav. However, ve'en arkavosav noshkot zo v'zo, his knees do not touch. So normally when somebody is seated, his knees touch, but this coin is unable to do so, even though his feet are together, but his knees are separate. And what is that pika that we mentioned earlier? So it's a pika, is a round lump, yotza megodalo. He has a round lump of something, could be skin, that sticks out of his big thumb or his big toe. Also, that's an invalidating blemish. Akevo yotze la'achorav, literally his heel sticks out in back. What this is talking about is that the leg of the coin is not placed at the foot where it normally is, but it's placed in the middle of the foot. So the leg is in the middle of the foot, not at the back of the foot, and accordingly the foot sticks out in back because of that. Parsaso rechava kishel avaz. His foot is very wide, like a goose, if we think about like the webbed feet of a goose. So it's very flat and long and spreads out, as opposed to a person that has a normal foot, that it's not spread out and wide like a goose and flat, but it has more substance and it's narrower. Etz ba'osav mur kavod zo al zo. If his fingers are curled up and they overlap, so he tries to straighten them out, but they still lay one on the other. They overlap one on the other. Oklutos, or they are attached together by skin, so his fingers are webbed. This would apply to the feet as well. They are webbed together. However, ad haperek kasher, if they are attached up until the first joint. So when we look at our fingers, we have the palm, we have on the back of the palm, we have the knuckles, and past the knuckle, we have the first joint, and then there's a second joint thereafter. So if the attachment of the skin is only up to the first joint, that's anab kerek, then that's going to be kasher. Lemata mina perek v'chatacha, if it went past that first joint, and the Kohen cut the skin there, so it would be cut back, and the fingers would only be joined together up until that first joint, then it would be kosher, that would be acceptable. Hai sabo yeseres, if he had an extra finger or a toe, so he had five, instead of five fingers, six fingers on one end, or six toes, and he cut it off. So had surgery, cut off the extra finger or toe. Im yesh ba etzem pasul v'im lav kasher. If it had a bone in it, then it is going to be pasul. This coin is not going to be able to do the avoda. Why? Because effectively he's a baal mum now, because the definition of a limb is when it had a bone. So if that extra finger or the extra toe had a bone in it and it was removed, this Kohen now is a mechusar aver. He's missing a limb, and accordingly, he cannot do the avoda. However, if that if it did not have a bone in it and it was removed, then the Kohen would be kosher. Yes, or biyadav uveraglav, if he had extra fingers and toes on his hands and his feet, as follows: sheish v'sheish esrim v'arba. He had six fingers on both hands and six toes on both feet, for a total of 24 fingers and toes. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says that that is not going to be a blemish because he's evened out. It's not like he has more fingers on one hand than the other hand. So because it's even, 6, 6, 6, 6, it's going to be kosher. V'chachamim poslim, chachamim say, but this is still unusual, so it is going to be an invalidating blemish. Hasholet b'shteyadav, somebody who's ambidextrous, so he is able to use both hands. Rebbe posel, Rebbe says that this is going to be a blemish. Why is that? Because Rebbe's view is that if you're using your left hand as well as the right hand, that means that your right hand is going to be lacking. It can't simply be as strong as it would have been otherwise. And accordingly, because the right, you're ambidextrous, that means you can use the left hand and the right hand, but the right hand is not going to have the same dexterity as otherwise if you were always using the right hand. Accordingly, that's going to be a blemish. V'chachamim achshirim, chachamim say it's not a blemish. Somebody's ambidextrous, can use the right hand. That is going to be a kosher coin to do the avoda. Now we're going to start talking about the skin coloring. Hakushi, someone with black skin. The hagichor, someone with red skin. The halavkan, somebody with very, very white skin. V'hapikeach, somebody who's very tall and skinny, looks unusual in an unusual way. V'hananas, a midget. V'acherish, a deaf mute. V'ashota, somebody who's insane. V'ashikor, somebody literally who is drunk, but we're not talking about somebody who's intoxicated with alcohol, because certainly that would invalidate the avoda. That would be in category number one. That avoda is not going to be kosher at all. So we're not in category number two when we classify the Kohanim in the three classifications, which means that in a Kohen, if he did the Avoda, he shouldn't have done the Avoda with his blemish, but if he did, it's not going to invalidate the Avoda. So we're talking about some other substance, for example, milk. If somebody got a little shik or got a little intoxicated on milk, then that you're not allowed to do the avoda in the base of Mikdash, but if he did, it would not invalidate the avoda. Uba'ale negayim tahorim. So negayim in the Torah, we talk about Parshas Metzorah, talk about it's a physical manifestation of a spiritual disease. Now we have the Kohen look at it, and he has to tell us whether this is a puzzle or not puzzle, if it's tame or not tame, is this impure or not pure. So some of them are going to be pure, even though the person has a negayim, even though he has that physical manifestation of a spiritual disease, nonetheless, it's going to be tahor. It's not going to make him impure, but nonetheless, it's going to be considered a blemish for purposes of the avoda. So all of these that we have listed right now, says the Mishnah, psulim ba'adam, they would invalidate the Kohen from doing the avoda, the beis hamikdash. However, in contrast, uksherim bebehema, if an animal had any of these blemishes, that would not invalidate the animal from being brought as a korban in the Beis Hamikdash. So all these that we are listing now apply to the Kohanim, but not to the animals. These would not be blemishes for the animals. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Shota bebehema eina min amufar. Even though we just said that the Shota, the insane person, that would invalidate the Kohen, but it would not, accordingly, invalidate the animal. But Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is telling us that still, even though Me'ikar Adin, fundamentally, an animal that's a Shota can be brought as a korban, but that's not the ideal thing to do. So it should not be done. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Av Ba'alei Dildulim. In addition, when we have a Ba'alei Dildulim, the Bar Tanora tells us that's Kemin Chatichos Basar Yotzos Tluyos Behem. So it's like having additional skin, clumps of skin, globs of skin that are hanging on to the person or the animal. So Rabbi Eliezer is telling us, even in this condition, the skin condition, Psulim ba'adam ukshim ba'behema. This would be a blemish for a Kohen who he could not do the avoda if he had this baal dildulim, if he had this condition, the skin condition. However, when it comes to an animal, that would not invalidate the animal from being brought as a korban in the Beis Hamikdash. Mishnah Zayin changes direction. Throughout this parak, we've been talking about those disqualifications that apply to a Kohen, such that the Kohen cannot do the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, but that do not apply to an animal. They would not disqualify the animal from being brought as a korban in the Beis Hamikdash. Now we are going to talk about Eluk Sherim Biadam. These are the disqualifications that nonetheless will not invalidate the Kohen. The Kohen is going to be kosher to do the avoda, but Upsulim Bebehema, but they will disqualify the animal from being brought as a korban. And we're going to list out five right now. Osova Espino. Number one is there's a halacha. It's a pasuk in the Torah that you're not permitted to shecht in the same day a parent and a child animal. There's a machlokis whether this only applies to a mother and a child of the mother or the father as well. According to the Tana, this Mishnah, it applies to a father as well. So if you've shechted either the father or the son that same day, you cannot bring the other either as a korban. Also, you can't, if it's chulin, you can't eat it as well. So that's the prohibition of oso vespino. That would not apply to a kohen. So if you have a kohen and his son, they can do the avod in the Beis Hamikdash on the same day, at the same time, not a problem. Number two, treifa. If you have an animal that's a treifa, that means it has a serious health issue with it, such that it will die within the year. There's a whole list of what the treifas are. If you have a kohen that has that same blemish, that same problem, that kohen will be permitted to do the avod in the Beis Hamikdash. Number three, viyotze dofen, a C-section. C-section invalidates an animal from being brought as a korban, but it would not invalidate a kohen who was born through C-section, would not invalidate him from doing the avod. Number four, v'shenevda behen avera, an avera was done to the animal. It's talking about the animal had relations with a person or a person had relations with that animal. That animal cannot be brought as a korban. However, if a kohen had improper relations with somebody, that would not invalidate the kohen from doing the avod in the Beis Hamikdash. And number five, a shehemi says adam. If you have an animal that killed somebody, the animal cannot be brought as a korban. However, a kohen that killed somebody can still do the avod in the Beis Hamikdash. What he cannot do is the duchening, the nesias kapayim, giving a blessing to the tzibur, blessing to Klali, so that he cannot do because the hands that killed, even accidentally, cannot do the duchening. However, he can still do the avod in the Beis Hamikdash. And now we're going to add on a couple more disqualifications or potential disqualifications as it applies to a kohen. We're not going to talk about the animals anymore. Hanose nashim ba'avera pasul. If we have a kohen that, in violation of the Torah, he went and married somebody, is not allowed to. For example, kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, a woman who was divorced, or a chalala, that is a woman who has a certain type of yichus problem that is not permitted to a kohen, or a zona, or a prostitute, a kohen is not permitted to marry those. But what if he did? So in order to do the avoda, he has to divorce her. But what happens if he's doing the avoda right now? He can't give her a get right now. So what he would have to do in that situation in order to continue proceeding to do the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, ad shiyadir hanaya, he would have to make a neder right then, make a commitment, an oath, literally an oath. He has to make a swear, a vow, that he's not going to have any hana'a from his then wife, and he's not going to give her any hana'a. We know then thereafter where they're going to get divorced. So that is the proxy. That's what we're going to use right now because he's doing the avoda, and then right after he does the avoda because he made that vow, which will permit him to continue doing the avoda, then he'll get divorced right afterward. Hamit tamei lemesim, possible. If we have a coin is not permitted to be tamei. He has to be careful to not become tamei unless he's permitted according to the halacha. So if we have a kohen, we're not talking about a kohen who's tamei right now, because obviously he can't do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash when he's tamei, but he's the type of person who is not careful about tuma. He's not careful about tuma, so hametamei lemesim, he's pasul. If you're not careful about tuma, we're not going to let you do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash ad sheyakabel alav shelo yehei metamei lemesim, until he makes a commitment. Here you don't have to make a neder, you don't have to make a vow, but until he makes a commitment, then he's going to be careful about not become tamei. Now, why do we have a difference here between the kohen that is married to somebody, a grusha, halal, a zona, somebody who's not be permitted to marry, that he would have to make a neder to get divorced? He's a neder here. He's making a neder that he's not going to have hanah from his wife and she can't hanah from him. It's not just a commitment. He actually needs to make an oath. And the kohen who's not careful about tumah, he doesn't need to make the neder. He just simply has to make a commitment that he's going to be careful to not become tamei. So what's the difference between them? It's because when it comes to a wife, when it comes to women, people have a yetzer hara. So we're concerned. Maybe he's going to say, I make a commitment, but he's not going to live to it. So we make it more serious. We make it a neder. In contrast to somebody who is a kohen, who's not careful about tuma, it's not that he has a yetzer hara to do that. You don't have a yetzer hara to become tamei. Accordingly, it suffices that he makes the commitment, even if it's not an actual neder.